The long-billed curlew is a brown breed of a sandpiper bird with a distinctive long beak that's used to probe for food in the mud. They spend their winters in Mexico and then migrate north to Mountain West to breed. Researchers have been tracking curlew migrations, and they're finding some pretty startling declines in those numbers, primarily due to poaching. The bird is protected by the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. Joining me to talk about the impact this poaching is having on the curlew, as well as other bird populations, is Jay Carlisle. He is Research Director of the Intermountain Bird Observatory and Research Associate Faculty in the Department of Biological Sciences at Boise State University. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
First question I have for you, Jay, can you just describe the curlew, as well as researchers, we know they've been tagging and monitoring curlew migrations since 2013, correct?
Yep.
So why this bird in particular?
Well, so you did a good job of describing the curlew, a sandpiper relative, mm-hmm. a very large bird, long beak. They nest in uplands and grasslands, also agricultural lands, and then winter in coastal areas, mudflats, as well as inland grasslands and agricultural lands as well. Why this bird? There are a few things. One is, big picture, grassland birds have been declining across a lot of the Great Plains and other parts of the country for a long time. And curlews are one of the easier of those species to monitor and detect because of their size and also their voice that carries for a long way, and they're very distinctive. In particular, curlews have been declining, as you mentioned, in this region for the last 40 years. And we have population data from the long-billed curlew habitat area of critical environmental concern that's between Middleton, Emmett, and Parma, data that first came to us from the late 1970s. And so now we have a 40-year time span of data that shows a decline of 90 to more than 95% in that time period. Other populations...
90 to 95%.
Yes. So tanking. Other populations in the region have not been declining in this way, and some seem stable, whereas this population is very concerning, especially in an area that's actually named after them.
So why then are we seeing the decline? Can you track that based on this 40 years of research?
Yes and no. I think we have very strong indication, especially given the recent data that we'll get into. But I think we have to acknowledge that there are many possible factors. So changes in climate, changes in habitat, both in the breeding and wintering areas. Are there things like that going on that might be causing mm-hmm. declines? And I would say those are the things that myself and colleagues were first exploring. And then over time, this issue of illegal shooting or poaching has started to hit me and others over the head with a sledgehammer to kind of let us know this is the big issue.
So why is this bird so important to Idaho and into our ecosystem?
I could answer this in a couple ways. Okay. One is that the long-billed curlew habitat area of critical environmental concern, or ACEC, which was designated in the early 1990s, its Bureau of Land Management land, was designated that way because there was such a high population documented in the 1970s. 1,000 breeding pairs was the estimate in a relatively small area of southwestern Idaho. And at the time, that was the highest known population in the Intermountain West. So we had sort of the heart of curlew populations that was known at that time. And now this area has seen this very steep decline. The other thing I'll mention is that curlews are listed by the state of Idaho. The state has a state wildlife action plan, so Idaho Fish and Game has mm-hmm. worked with other agencies to pull this together. And curlews are listed, along with about 30 other bird species, as species of greatest conservation need. So that's a few steps below endangered species status. It's just basically letting us know it's a species of concern that we ought to pay attention to. And there are many potential reasons for that, and one of them is this issue of illegal shooting.
And when we look at the decline of this bird, how does it affect, and what I get to when I say ecosystem is, like, is there an issue with food chain, things
yep.
like that? How would the average person be affected by this decline?
That's a good question. So I think there's sort of the inherent value of a species or an individual
Absolutely.
That we might argue for. But beyond that, curlews eat a number of insect or arthropod pests or things that could become more common. So in wetter environments, they probe in wet soil, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. in the intertidal mudflats on the coast or in agricultural lands or after a rain. They can use that beak to probe deeper into the soil to get larvae or worms or other things like that, crabs on the coast. when they're foraging on dry soil, it's mostly superficial things like grasshoppers, beetles, spiders, other things that are actually on the surface or even in the vegetation.
So they're helping to control that population.
Yes, so there would be one of many birds in our region that are helping control insect and other arthropod populations. And then on the other hand, they also do provide food to raptors and other predators. So we know curlews in the time that we've been studying them. And even though understanding predation of curlews hasn't been a key aspect of our research, we know they've been killed by weasel. We know they've been killed by peregrine falcon. We know nests have been consumed by, so the eggs and nests have been consumed by badgers, ravens, coyotes. So they are providing a food source to a lot of native predators in the area as well.
And that's part of how the ecosystem works. I mean,
that
is part of nature and how it's supposed to work.
Right.
What maybe is not supposed to work is this idea of poaching. And in fact, didn't some of your fellow researchers find a curlew that was killed? And
yes.
Well, basically what they said was she was simply shot because she was there.
That's our best guess as far as what happened. So they found a shot female that was at a territory we'd been monitoring this year. So they were going to do the nest habitat measurements at a site, and on their way out, they found a freshly shot bird that had a hole through the wing and then into the chest that matched up, that suggested she was shot while standing, not while in flight. And it was so fresh that Stephanie, a recently defended master's student, said there was still blood dripping onto the plastic when they put it into the car. That's one of at least three shooting fatalities we know of from this year, and at least four others from last year. And there's probably others we aren't finding. And there's no hunting season on long-billed curlews. 100 years ago, before some of the regulations went into place, curlews and a lot of other shorebirds were shot legally. But it's been a very long time since it's been legal to do so.
But they are just shooting the bird, and are they leaving them there like that?
That's
like what happened in this situation?
Yes. So, and that's how we're finding them, because if they were shooting them and taking them, then we wouldn't know so much about these. We would just be like, well, where'd they go? In some cases, because we're using satellite transmitters to track birds, that's how we're finding out about mortalities, is because we're getting a signal that shows that the transmitter's not moving anymore. It takes us a little time to diagnose that, but we're able to then track them down. So we found a male back in April that we'd been tracking since 2016. He'd been to California and back twice. And all of a sudden his signal stopped moving. It was still giving a signal, but it wasn't moving. So I sent Heather, one of our biologists, out there, and she found him very quickly. She actually assumed natural predation because the carcass was ripped apart and it looked like it had been eaten. But we took it to Idaho Fish and Game's Wildlife Health Lab, and they did a necropsy and x-ray, and they found bullet fragments in the spine that showed us that it was killed illegally and then scavenged by native predators or scavengers.
I'm speaking with Jay Carlisle. He is research director of the Intermountain Bird Observatory and a faculty member at Boise State University. We're talking about the long-billed curlew and its habitat, and we're not calling it an endangered species at this point yet, Jay. But is this a yet, or how do we move forward so this bird does not become endangered?
That's a good question. And I think when we're talking about Endangered Species Act, I think we're far from that because of the population status throughout the range of the species. I would say this population in southwestern Idaho is verging on threatened or endangered because of this decline. But as a whole, curlews are doing really well in other populations. But I think in this area, the key issue is shooting. And so I mentioned at the beginning, there could be habitat changes on the wintering ground. So crops that change from alfalfa or wheat to walnuts or pecans in California, walnuts and pecans aren't going to support curlews because they don't like to live in trees. So changes like that could affect them. But if we're seeing 7 out of 16 curlews that we've attached transmitters to over the last 6 years have been shot, these are on BLM lands, that's 44% or something like that. That's nothing close to sustainable as far as allowing that level of illegal mortality in a long-lived shorebird. So that's the key issue here, is to at least remove or reduce this level of illegal shooting to allow this population to continue.
So how do we do that? Because it's illegal, but it's still happening.
Yep. I think some of it is just education and outreach. I think that's probably the biggest thing. Some of it is enforcement, and that's a tough task. Mm-hmm. I've talked with law enforcement, with Fish and Game, BLM, Fish and Wildlife Service over the years. They're all very eager to help with this. They've put patrols out in the key areas, and they're definitely working on this. And they've found evidence of a lot of the shooting. And I should mention, it's not just curlews. It's birds of prey, both raptor, like diurnal raptors, and owls. It's other animals that aren't allowed to be shot that are being shot as well. So there's legal target shooting that happens in a lot of public lands, shooting ground squirrels, mm-hmm. shooting badgers, shooting coyotes, shooting non-live targets. That's all legal, and we're not saying anything about that. We're just saying know your target, be responsible, and be legal with your guns.
So know that what's legal and what's not, yeah. and follow the law.
Yeah, and so I think for us doing outreach both into schools and adult community groups and trying to do more media so that more people in the community are aware of what curlews and these other protected species are, and might become more fascinated by them as opposed to just shooting them because they're out there or might be bothering them when they're out there.
And let's quickly talk about that educational aspect of it, because this is also a big piece of what you do. You do go into schools and, like you said, even adult community groups, things like that. Tell me a little bit about that, and have you seen a difference?
Yes, at least with the kids or the adults that we talk to, there's an awareness, there's an excitement. I mean, curlews are a fascinating bird. When you see them,
them on your shirt. Too bad we don't have a way to show you.
Incredibly long bill. Females' beaks are almost 6 inches long. So they're really fascinating and interesting bird. And so I think once you get a little bit of an interest, then you might be like, you know, those are pretty cool. I might like to learn more about them. And we've had kids that have admitted that either themselves or their dad were out target shooting and they shot a curlew. That now are following us on Facebook and they're excited about curlews and they're upset when a bird that we've put a transmitter on and named is then shot. And so I think that just making that connection is really helpful. One thing I should just mention quickly, mm-hmm. so we've talked about the ACEC, but there's also the Snake River National Conservation Area. So the Morley Nelson Snake River
right.
Birds of Prey National Conservation Area. We've worked a lot there in the last couple of years, and that's where a lot of these mortalities have happened as well. So it's not just the ACEC. It's public lands in the Treasure Valley that have ground squirrels and this target shooting where there's some of this incidental mortalities that are happening.
And so people may be out there, like you said, they're out there, they're doing the target shooting, ground squirrels, that's legal.
Yep.
And, well, there's a bird. So I'm out here target shooting. I mean, do you think there is maybe a disconnect with people sometimes not knowing?
I do. I think there's a lack of knowing what's legal to shoot, what's not. I think there's also, in some cases, maybe we don't care as much. Maybe if we don't know what a curlew is, then, like, why would we care? And if nobody's watching, honestly, I can't pretend to know what's going on through the minds of folks that are doing this. In some cases, we know curlews can get really aggressive in defense of their young, and they'll dive bomb any potential predator, which could include a truck driving by, a person standing there. So if you're shooting within a couple hundred yards of curlews protecting chicks, you're going to have them dive bombing you repeatedly. So our suggestion is just move on down the road.
Just leave them alone. Yeah.
And then they won't come after you anymore. Yeah.
And you do have a Facebook page. And
we
can do a link to our website so that people know about it.
Yeah.
But if you want to let people know what it is.
So we have two Facebook pages. One is The Curlew Crew. And then another one is Intermountain Bird Observatory. So just searching on Facebook for Intermountain Bird Observatory or The Curlew Crew, you'd find a lot of information. Okay.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in today and having this conversation. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Jay Carlisle is the research director of the Intermountain Bird Observatory, as well as a faculty member at Boise State University. Again, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.